Welcome to this week's Thrive Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
In our KL church, we love it because it's a mixture of so many nations. So many. We've got Finnish people there. We've got Swiss. We've got Germans. We've got Americans. We've got Koreans. Chinese from China, not Asian Chinese. China Chinese. India. India Indians. The reason why I say that is because they are Indian Malaysians. Then they are the real Indian Indians that are from India and things like that. And you know, Stella and I have been invited last year and this year as well to speak in India. And I promise you, I had no desire to go to India in my entire life because I can't speak the language and all the connotations about being an Indian and not being able to speak the language. And they would really, you know, honestly, I've been hurt emotionally when they've said things like, you know, you're an Indian and why can't you speak the language? You're just a white man with a black backside. That's all, you know, that's all. So I've been hurt. So I never wanted to go to India. And I went this year with Stella. Imagine Chinese and Indian up on the stage. Huge conference. And here's this China, they call her China Auntie. China Auntie speaking to all these Indian men sitting like that. They don't like their women to speak on a stage. But we broke tradition and we're looking forward to greater things. But as I was saying, in KL Church, we've got all these different nationalities and we love people. Otherwise, we won't be in the ministry. You cannot say you love the church but don't love people. We love people. We just love them when they come in. We look at their hairstyles. I mean, the Africans come in with the dreadlocks. They look like the predator, you know. And then you got all the Russians coming in with the highest heels in the world. This tower above you. And decked, beautiful. And all these people come into our church, and we love their accents. And we wonder why they keep coming back to our church. Whether they understand us, that's a different. But they love our church because there's such a love culture and a love atmosphere. So I won't try to do the Russian accent or the Arab accent. And I just know that the Chinese and the Indian, we both, you know, the Chinese and the Indian people are unique people. The Chinese are very smart. They may look like as if they've got their eyes closed, but their eyes are really wide open. If you will Google, this, you need to fact check this. If you will Google and find out who invented sunglasses, it was the Chinese. Absolute truth. I challenge you, Google it. So that's why they invented the sunglasses. But, you know, we love the Chinese. I married one. And there were these two gentlemen in New York, and they just opened a new store, a brand new store in New York, and they haven't fitted their shelves yet with anything, so just an empty store. And they're standing right in the middle of the store, and they were just taking a break and resting. And one of them said to me, you know, at any moment, a Chinaman will come by and peep through the window and ask, what are you selling? He says, that will definitely happen. And just when he said that, a Chinese man did come by. And he peeped through the window and he asked that question, what are you selling here? And the other guy was a bit sarcastic. He said, we are selling idiots here. And the Chinese man, without blinking, said, oh, business must be very good. Only two left. The Chinese. Right, so don't look, listen, I know I've got to be politically correct, but I'm married to China. And so it's okay. So I won't talk about the Australian accent. But here's the other one. Indians. You know, you've never seen a James Bond movie or a Bond Legacy movie where the villain is an Indian. It's very hard for Indians to play the role of a villain because you're such nice people. Very nice, accommodating. They're very polite. Can you imagine in one of these movies... The United Nations are sitting down having a meeting and one of the assistants run in and says, gentlemen, ladies, the villain from Russia, Boris, wants to speak to the United Nations. And blink, the screen comes on and Boris, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Boris. I have placed a bomb in every city in the world. And I will give you 1 hour to give me $1 billion. If you will not, every city will go kaput. Goodbye. Now that's a typical villain. You put an Indian man up there, and the assistant runs in and tells the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rakesh, the terrorist wants to speak to you. Ping, the screen comes on. Is it on? Thank you. Hello, everyone. Auntie, uncle, how are you? Namaste. Nice to see you all. I hope you had a good breakfast this morning. I hope you had some dal. It's very good for your digestion. It is nice to see you all here today. Can you imagine an Indian being a villain? Very hard. They're nice people. You have seen Pastor Joseph Stephen come to your country, yeah? And I met him the first time when he, you know, and he's from Sri Lanka. It's quite near India anyway. But that's how he talks. He says, oh, praise the Lord. It is very good to see you. Pastor Brad asked me to come to see you. I finally come to. And you can't take them seriously because they're just funny, you know. But I want to try to share something because I'm just fresh out of Easter and Good Friday. And I shared a message at our church on Good Friday. And I heard this old-time black American preacher share this message. I can't do them. They're too good. But I just want to read you something. And I want you to imagine that this is a black African American speaker. And this is what he said that really touched my heart. And he said something like this. It's Friday. Jesus is a-praying. Peter's a-sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. Pilate's a-struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying. For they don't know Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. I see Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood is dripping. His body is stumbling. But it's only Friday. His spirit is burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world is winning. People are sinning. Evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up between two criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday is coming. The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. He's feeling forsaken by his Father. He's left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky goes dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. Satan is a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. Oh, it's Friday. It's only Friday, but Sunday is coming. And I want to say to some of us today, we may have those Fridays. And it is never the end, especially if you are a believer in the resurrection of Jesus. This is not just a resurrection sermon. This is about people like you and I who meet people who might ask a question, a fair question. I don't understand why all they ever do about talk about Jesus is that he's coming back from the dead. How does that change me today? With my marriage problems, with my relational problems, with my financial problems. How does that relate to us today? It was good to know Jesus died and rose from the dead, but that's 2,000 years ago. Well, let me just bring this truth to every one of us. If Jesus did what Jesus did on the cross was just for my sins and for me to know I'm going to heaven, that's fantastic. We all want to know that. I think in every person's heart, people want to know and have that assurance, because when I leave this earth, now whether we like to talk about it or not, especially in the Asian culture, they don't like to talk about death. It's bad luck, especially for the Chinese people. And yet you cannot deny almost every day if you went by a housing area, you'll see tents outside a house or some vehicles parked outside somewhere and someone is dead. But for us who are Christ followers and believers in Jesus Christ, death has lost its sting when Jesus rose from the dead. We know that when Jesus died, it is not just to help us get ready for heaven. The more powerful thing, the good news of the gospel is that the one who died for my sin rose from the dead so that he could re-inhabit our mortal bodies. The same Jesus that raised from the dead. Yes, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but how do I live on earth? Well, he made sure he fitted us to live on earth, and not just to live on earth, to live on us well, on earth well, to do it well, to have great success in this earth. I'm sure you know about it. I want to be so basic today, because we can sometimes forget the basic facts, and we stress about, am I doing it right? Am I making the right choices? When Christ, because of his resurrection, and I want to say this to all of us, not only fitted us to live in heaven, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, we know that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. They will never perish. So seal that in your heart. We don't have to live like people who don't know God. We have religions in our country where there is no hope in death. It's just a matter of which level of hell. That's what they teach them from the time they're young. It's just that which level of hell you're going to end up. For us who are born again Christ followers, we ought to have that assurance. You know, my eternity is sealed. I'm not going to come back as a cockroach or a mosquito. I'm not going to be oblivious to what's going to happen. I know that because he lives, I will live also. But I've got loads of young people who have just got married and just started their lives who will say, okay, that's all fine. Well, I say something else to all of them. He not only made us fit to live in heaven, he made us fit to live on earth. And so the Bible tells us, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ inside of us. Don't hang your heads down and walk around aimlessly. Don't be a person without an adventure in your life. As our sister was sharing just now during the offering, we build monuments. We leave something behind. Every church that we plant is an altar of people praising God, worshiping God, coming to know God in a real and powerful way. That's why I'm passionate, even today, after 43 years of serving Jesus in a country like Malaysia. I feel like I've just started changing names of the church, just getting naughty with it, just getting with it, just being bold and adventurous, going into places where no man has been before. I love the journey because Christ in us, see, that's what the resurrection means to each and every one of us today. There is a hope that defies hopelessness. We get reports from Sri Lanka and other places and even Malaysia. Right this Sunday, as our churches go on, we were all sent texts by the government to be on alert at every church. But you know, we cannot live hopelessly. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate. He will help you and be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. He said, I will never leave you orphanless, like an orphan. I will never leave you like an orphan. I will be with you. I will never leave you. And not only that, I will come to you. You know, being born again, what does it mean? No religion offers that, to be born again. Your spirit was dead, but now you are birthed from heaven. You're born again. That's what the resurrection of Jesus means to us today. So I know we had Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday last week, but I prayed that message still pushes us forward. We need to know that Jesus did die and He rose from the dead. And so all that He promised to us is true. The Bible tells us again and again that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. We are the only ones who can call God, not just God. Let's be specific. We call Him Father. We call Him Abba, Father, even in our lowest moment. I heard the other day in the Australian news, and this was read to us at our conference, and it was said that about 3 million young people or middle-aged people or just people in Australia, 3 million of your citizens are dependent on depressants, antidepressants, because depression is such a big issue. And I speak to you from my heart. And I think that's not only in Australia, but in Singapore, in Malaysia, in many of our developing and developed countries, people are feeling lonely. It's a horrible thing to feel. Jesus didn't rise from the dead for you to feel lonely. He said, you're not an orphan. I've given you my spirit whereby you can call God. You can call God, Abba, Father, Father. And He loves you as a child. You know, the resurrection of Jesus gives credibility to everything the Old Testament and everything the New Testament says. The Word of God in your life is the most powerful thing. It's the only thing many times in times of desperation and doubt, because we as pastors go through the very same challenges as anybody goes through, any human being on earth. We get reports and people who have been retrenched or people who have lost a child or a loved one. And we get reports like that. And as pastors, sometimes it's an overwhelming feeling when these things come. But we hold the Word of God. Paul says, take up the sword. That means at some point we've dropped it. Take up the sword of the Spirit. In other words, we got to take the Word of. When Jesus rose from the dead, He authenticated everything that we read in our Bible as true. You don't have to doubt the Word of God. The Bible promises that we have a new nature. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. I had an old nature. I came to Christ and accepted Him. I have a new nature, tailor-made by God for me to live a victorious, powerful, compelling, inspiring life today. Not just for me, but for our children and our children's children. We have a responsibility to tell them this works. This is not a once upon a time fairy tale. Jesus did die and He did rise from the dead. And He gave us the forgiveness of sin, both of past and present, the heartaches, the things that we have done. He said, it is forgiven. He said, as far as the east is to the west, I've forgiven your sin. The east and the west can never meet. No matter how you try to make them meet, they can never meet. And He says, I've forgiven your sin, and I will remember your sin no more. So you don't have to walk around feeling like a loser. You don't have to walk around bent over by some spirit. You don't have to be pulled down by what people have said about you and their conclusions about you. The Bible also says that He has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything that you want to know. And there are no hierarchies in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the center of it all. So pastors and leaders who are doing the job for the ministry, it's not because they have to. They could be great business people outside in the world. but they've chosen to lay down their lives for all of us. And all of us must have that same compulsion. For me to live is Christ. Thank God for the trimmings and all those things that He has given to us. Thank God for my job and thank God for the business. Thank God for the prosperity. In fact, I pray that every single one of you will be so prosperous that you will be so blessed. Because see, heaven doesn't need our money. There's no churches to build in heaven. There are no sinners to save in heaven. There are no orphanages to start in heaven. It's perfect. So I won't need riches in heaven. It's rich in itself. But I need to be rich here, not so that I could get my fourth Lamborghini and drive around in my private jet plane and have seven Rolex watches on my hand, but so that I could be a blessing while I'm still alive to build, as our sister said, monuments, to build something for the kingdom of God. And we love to think like that because that's what to us the resurrection of Jesus Christ means. You know, as a child of God, you've got a constant person who will guide you into all truth. The Bible says in John 16, verse 13, you see, when Jesus rose from the dead, He gave you the best teacher. You never have to walk along this life confused, groping. What is the will of God? What does God want me to do? You will have clarity. You will walk with your heads up. You will have focus. You will say, I know what the will of God is. You will not walk around saying, I don't know. And so you run from one crystal to another crystal ball to another guru somewhere. And they can't even help themselves. They're not going to be able to help you. But He has given us the truth of the Spirit. He said, I will guide you into all truth. When He, the Spirit, comes, He will guide you. You have a personal teacher and a personal counselor. I know some of us, and even us, we as pastors, we need counseling. We need to be guided by men and women we trust, and then, you know, we can relate to. But every one of us have got a personal guide. He's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't live just outside of you and goes with you. He lives inside of every single one. And He will guide us into all truth. So He has given us all these things because He rose from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, He says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Today you can walk around as a son and a daughter of God because you're led by the Spirit. You don't have to walk around trying to be a wannabe. We're not praying and bowing down to gods who demand that we sacrifice our lives and punish ourselves. That's not our God. He took our punishment on Good Friday. He rose from the dead on Easter. And He says, it is finished. It's done. So we serve a God with a mark in our hearts and on our foreheads, sons of God. You know, the real superheroes are here today. I know there are a lot of Marvel Studio comics that have gone on from Hulk to Captain America. And our kids love that. And probably some of you do too, but you know, I think every time I come to church, I'm looking at heroes, the people who volunteer to serve God in church. They are real heroes. I'll tell you why. They are just ordinary people infused with the Spirit of God to cast out demons. That's the celestial part of it. We are the terrestrial part. You'll never see Hulk casting out a demon. You'll never see Spider-Man laying hands on the sick because they have no power. But we, I hope you're catching this, we have the power. When somebody falls sick in your home, you as a child of God, a Jesus follower, you know you have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You don't have to just call up. Of course, you can call up your connect group leader and your pastors to join in prayer. And we do that all the time on our texts. But you can right there. You are the hero. And every Sunday when you come together, you're a collective group of powerful people. Why do you think if the news that's going on in normal media, if they whatever they're saying is true, that the churches are becoming less effective, that Christianity is becoming less relevant, and the churches are dwindling in size, if that is true, why are you burning our churches? Why are you outlawing our Bible? Why are you terrified, passing legislation after legislation against Christians who don't hurt you, who pray for you, who started the best orphanages in the world without the help of government funds, who started the best learning institutions, Oxford and Cambridge, and all were Christian institutions at one point. Princeton, the best people in the world. If we are a dying race, I challenge that. Somebody did send a text and I said, I challenge that. That is a lie. It's just that you don't want to tell the world what's really happening. That there are people being saved, marriages being healed, bodies being healed, relationships being healed, lives are being changed. And the Church of Jesus Christ is very, very much alive. Even in Australia, I speak it so, I prophesy it so in the name of Jesus. And Thrive Church, I want to say to you, Thrive Church, I want to say to you, he says he's able, because he rose from the dead, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think. All that we could even imagine. He is able. He is able. So the next many years Stella and I have serving God in our country is so exciting. Again, like I feel like we've only just begun. I'm not going to be sulking, sitting in the corner of my room, sucking my thumb, and saying they are burning the churches down. Bring it on. I hate the death. I hate that. I hate it. It got me so angry when I heard about Sri Lanka or even Nostradamus. I mean, I've been there twice. And we love it. And all that anti-Christian slogans that go on. But I'll say to you, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think or imagine. Don't let fear cloud that scripture in your mind. Don't let fear hold you back to say, you know, these are dangerous times. Of course, we pray for many of our pastors and leaders as they are going into dangerous places. We pray for protection. But I tell you, I pray that God will open our eyes today as Elijah. Was it Elisha or Elijah? He prayed for his servant, Elisha. Prayed for his servant. This guy comes out and he sees all the chariots and horses, So many of them surrounding one man's home. Elisha didn't even get up to look at them. He prayed for his servant. And this is what we need to do. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for others who are part of this church. Your eyes have been closed for too long. You've been listening to the media, the wrong media all the time, fake news. And so he prayed, and we need to do that. Maybe I need you to touch someone in a little while, just pray for them. He said, I pray, Father, open his eyes, God. Open his eyes. And says, now go on, look again. Well, the army was still there. The problems were still there. But all of a sudden, because his eyes were now open, he saw the number of chariots of fire. And Elijah said, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. Social media and mainstream media have forced many Christians to put their heads down so they are looking at what is obvious. Yes, there's a problem. We're not denying that there are challenges. But we need our eyes lifted up as we look into heaven and see the resurrected Jesus who didn't just die and rise from the dead 2,000 years ago. Today, as we are facing new things in 2020, I don't know what you're facing, but I pray today in Jesus' name that your eyes will be open. Would you just do something? Maybe you've not been in church before and you're here for the first time. Don't be shy. I mean, just do it because I'm asking you to. Please, oblige me. I'm a guest. So be nice. Just touch the person next to you and just say, God, open eyes. Just go ahead. Just do that right now all over this place. Open eyes. Open eyes. Open eyes. I pray, dear God, that for the Christians in Australia, this part of the entrance, I pray, dear God, that Thrive Church will have eyes open, that they will see that those that are for them are more than those that are against them. Open their eyes. You are the resurrected Christ. You are the hope of glory in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Father, I pray for this church, and I pray that you continue to bring in many, many more people, resources, people who will come to champion the cause of what this church is doing. I pray that those who have been standoffish will start to lean in and lean into what God is saying and God is preparing for this great church. Bless Pastor Brad and Amy together with the leadership. We thank you for the new people and the old people who have been there faithfully year after year, month after month, week after week, setting up, pulling down. Father, I pray that there'll be an explosion of prosperity and favor and blessing so that they can be a blessing to many.